There's two weekly emails which I like to do to her. One of them is by Rav Aryeh Dunay. It's always that nice stories, a nice divrei Torah, and nice like points. I like it very much. She's a very choshev rov in Bnei Brak, and I like it. So on Thursdays, a few shtick of Torah and everything. I really like it. So and I looked at it and I said, "Wow, that's so interesting." He says something which we spoke about a few weeks ago. He says as follows. He says he brings a kash on this week's parsha. He says, "Vosiso es meila epod kelil cheles." So the Kohen Gadol wears the meil. And the way it's described in the Rambam is that the Me'il, which the Kohen Gadol wears, is called four corners. So the Mechsinuch asks, I never thought of this question. So the question is, if it's got four corners, then... So if it's got four corners, then the question is, why does he should really have tzitzis, and he doesn't have tzitzis. Let's get back, the Me'il didn't have tzitzis. So he asked the question, why the Kohen Gadol walks around with the Me'il, and the Torah Rambam describes exactly what it looks like. The Me'il, we know how it looks like, and there's no tzitzis, no strings attached. So the question is, how does that work? I thought, wow, that's such an interesting question. And he brings a few answers, none of them very convincing besides the last one, which is the Bi'alocha, which we learned. Bi'alocha says that, about something that's so interesting, we learned a few weeks ago, we learned that somebody goes to have an aliyah, and he just grabs a talis. Does he make a bracha, yes or no? He does not. Why not? Because it's for kavod. It's not really for the mitzvah purpose, it's for kavod atzibur. There's a congregation, there's a tzibur, there's a community. You've got to wear the talis out of respect for the community. It's a respectful garment to wear a talis, and it's disrespectful to do it without the talis. Okay. So that's what the Bi'alocha says. It's based on Achronim that when you wear a talis purely for the respect for the kovet, you don't make a bracha. Says Rabbi Aryeh Dunay, he says Shlita. He says, well, based on that, we can understand that the male doesn't need to have tzitzis, because the only reason why Pasuk says that the reason why the Kohen Gadol wears lechovet veletiferes, the Pasuk says for respect and for tiferes, for glory. That's why the Kohen Gadol wears the Me'il and the Bgadim. He wears it for glory. So therefore, since he's not wearing it for the mitzvah per se, but for the respect, therefore, it's exempt from tzitzis. Very nice question and very convincing answer. I think it's very nice. Of course, we could judge a bit, the points, subtle points within that, but I think it's very nice. And I thought, oh, that's really nice. Look at that. How learning Mishnevuah can sometimes even help us learning, Chumash Rashi. And that was the one. And then suddenly I look at the other weekly thing, which I only started really recently. It's Ramosha Steinbuch in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, previously in South Africa, and even more previously in London. So Ramosha Steinbuch, St. Gesundten Stark, from the Edech Redis, he's got a weekly Dvar Torah, which is not written by himself, but his Talmidim published. And here he comes with the story. And the story, I said, wow, that's so fascinating. He says over here the following story. He says, during the Second World War, he heard a story from somebody called Reb Grunfeld, no idea who it is, who learned in the Talmud of Moshe Schneider. Moshe Schneider's yeshiva was later in London and previously in Frankfurt in Germany. He says that, this is the story, I'm reading it loud to you, that there was the Nazis in Yimach Shemam, they entered the yeshiva of Moshe Schneider, beginning of Shachis. They came with, equipped with, as the Nazis did, and they were about to beat up the Bochim in yeshiva, and to hurt them, and to beat them up as they were, as they used to do. And the Moshe Schneider yeshiva, he entered, and he was wearing the tefillin, and he entered, he saw the Nazis beating up the Bochim, and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, how the Pasuk says, V'ro'u kol amei oretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, v'yiru mimecha. The Pasuk says, the nations will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yiru, and they'll fear you. And the Gemara Menachas tells us, that what is he referring to? That they see you. It doesn't mean they see you, but they see... Eilu tefillin sheberosh, the Gemara says. They see the tefillin, and because they see the tefillin, they fear. So he says that, how can it be that, you know, we're walking over here, that after Shachis, Bochim are wearing tefillin, and they're beating up the Bochim. The Pasuk says that they should be fearing when he wears tefillin. And he says, he was saying this, he said this tefillin, Ribono Shel Olam, how can it be that, you know, the tefillin don't cause that fear that it normally should do? And he said this tefillin with such conviction that the Nazis got such a fear and such a fright, and they said, okay, all right, and they made U-turn, and they walked back. The presence of tefillin eventually did did cause that respect, and the Nazis eventually, in that particular incident, at least they walked away. So that's interesting, you know, this is the talus and the tefillin just mentioned in our. Okay, having said this, boys, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to discuss a little bit more about the Mokum Tefillin. We're going to be talking now about we spoke about the Mokum Anoch Tefillin Shul Rosh, in terms of where the bay is meant to be. See, if Yud tells us about the back part of the Tefillin, which is equally important to get it right. Here again, plenty of people are getting this a little bit slightly incorrectly. Thank you. So what does it say? Hakeshem achoyre arosh, the kesher, which is the knot, which in most of our tefillin is the shape of a dalet, that has to be me'achoyre arosh. Let's get this right. Behind the head, lemalo, higher be'oireif, by the oireif, which is the oireif, the hole, the groove. Tzorich lechaven akitzitza shtei be'emza. So the going back now goes to the front, and we'll get back to the back in a minute. Kedei shtei v'tzorich lechaven akitzitza shtei be'emza. In terms of the front one, Shulchan Aruch goes back to the front filling. That has to be in the middle between the eyes. Now he's going back. And also with the back, the dalet must be in the emtsa, in the middle of the groove. It shouldn't go out of the right or the left. It must be central. It must be in the middle of the groove. And you've got to make sure that the knot looks like a dalet and it should be exposed to externally. Now he says something else. You've got to make sure that it shouldn't be turned around, back to front. We'll get to that at a later stage, Mishem. But let's just get the facts of what is the right position of the back part of the tefillin shel rosh, i.e. the dalet. Says the Mishem, once you've got the lamed hey, which is the end of the skull, neged haponim, v'loy kol kach lemato keneged hagoroin. It's got to be, says the Mishnah, in the groove, in the back, in the end of the skull. There's that little bump that sticks out. That's where it's meant to be. V'toyv she'emunach ikra kesher. And that's the element that some people get wrong. The toiv shit is proper that shemunach ikra kesher, the ikra kesher, which is the ikra kesher. The ikra kesher is what we know as the top of the dalet, the roof of the dalet, the horizontal part of the dalet. That has to be ikra kesher lemalo min akuma. That part has to be on top of the groove. Shame I didn't bring a tefillin. But what he means is that that it looks pretty much like a dalet. So that part over here has to be not in the skull, not in the groove, but happens to be on the bony part, the sticking out bit, which is on top of that. Does that make sense? As opposed to in the groove. Yeah? If it's lower than that, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah doesn't say that you're not Yoitza, but the Mishnah doesn't say that that's not the way you're meant to put on tefillin. Afilu miktsas hakeshem munach b'mokim ponim. Yeah, okay. Ponim yeshulah shalei afilu miktsas. I know there's a bit of a challenge in that. The challenge is that people tend to like to make the thing is that. It is, I know why it's a bit of a problem. The reason is because if you, what ends up is that since you have got the tefillin shel rosh, you want to try to do it high as possible over the headline, as we discussed yesterday. And in the back, you want to make sure that it's high enough and that it's over the groove. What happens then is that inevitably, it's the circumference of the, you're actually making it quite small. it's actually quite small, and it's not like the wider it would be, the longer it would be, the more it would, the tighter it would be in a way. But since it becomes the tzur area around from the headline until the groove is quite small, and therefore it's not so tight. Sometimes it's not so tight. You got to put a lot of pull down to make sure that the tefillin are properly tied on, not just lying on top, but actually tied. But that's the challenge. That's the challenge. Because that's why people are tempted to keep it a bit further below the groove, because that would make the tefillin a lot tighter. But again, Shavu says it should be on top of the groove. Yeah. Now in Sefkot Lamed Vav, the Mishnah addresses again the tefillin shel Rosh, the front part. And he tells us here again that you must make sure that it's central in the middle. Mishnah says in Sefkot Lamed Vav, Roich Shetia Be'emtza, Roicheva Roish, V'lo Yate Oysom Letzad Echad. It shouldn't go to the right or to the left. Kedesh Tiskaim Yutel Afoys Bein Einecha. That's the way we fulfill the word Bein Einecha, between your eyes. It doesn't mean literally between your eyes, but has to be central. If a person was not careful with that, says the Mishnah, Loi Kiyem Mitzvah Tefillin. If the tefillin are too.
How much leeway
we got? Mishnah says, Lezoy Bezeh. You got to be careful.
The back as well?
Yeah. It's got to be central. Yeah. Yeah, but there, I suppose, you've got a bit more leeway. Yeah, a little bit more leeway. But the only thing which must be emphasized is that there is a bit of a question. And the question is as follows. Look, Mishmur continues, and he says, let's just see this. Gam nochen lizoel lechatchile shlo yeh atfilin gdolim biyoseh, ensure that tefillin are too big. And the oz yev shekimat shemudokin ala rosh, if they're too big, they're not going to be tight. Gam shemunochin ala mekoyman, you also got to make sure they are right on the right place. And if they're too big, it's going to be hard to fulfill that. Dimo yeh munochin begoyva rosh, kedin enu mudokin, vegam akeshol yovol mekoyma kedin. So, the Mishmur emphasizes again, it's really important to get it 100% spot on. Yeah, we said the dalet has to be facing out. That has to be facing out. Okay, I think we'll leave Sifut Aleph for Sunday Mitzvah, because that's an important halacha about not being mehapach. I'm going to leave that for Sunday Mitzvah. Yeah, okay, so we learned this evening, we spoke about the importance of having the back tefillin ensure that it's the top part of the dalet is on top of the groove. The main part of the dalet is within the groove. We said that they've got to be central, both the back part of the tefillin shel Rosh as well as the front part of the tefillin shel Rosh. And we also spoke about the dalet facing externally and ensuring that it's not turning inside out. And that is something we're going to be addressing in Sifut Aleph Mitzvah on Sunday in greater detail. Okay, over to you.
Okay. I thought instead of the normal minhag of speaking on the parsha, I'd speak on tefillin for a change. Just to give you some insights into tefillin from a non-halachic perspective. So Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, in his book on tefillin, says that the greatest possible love is the love between God and man, and it is our duty to strengthen this bond. Tefillin are a sign of this bond of love. Faith and love of Hashem needs to be put into action, otherwise we tend to forget. Tefillin help us remember and are known as a reminder between your eyes. The pasuk in Shema inside the tefillin says to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your might. Those three types of love are mirrored in the tefillin. So b'chol levavcha, the tefillin shel yad is worn opposite the heart to signify that we dedicate our heart, the seat of life, to love Hashem. U'b'chol nafshecha, so the tefillin shel rosh are worn next to the brain to signify that we dedicate our mind, the seat of man's soul and intellect, to love Hashem. And u'b'chol mo'adecha, the tefillin shel yad are bound to the arm, the symbol of man's strength, to signify that we dedicate all our powers to love Hashem. And this threefold bond of love is also indicated in the three windings on the finger, on the middle finger, which is common within all the minhagim concerning the strapping on the hand. In Chabad Hasidic philosophy, a fundamental principle is that the intellect must control the emotion. But unfortunately, it's more often that the emotions control the mind. The mitzvah of tefillin helps the individual attain a unity of mind and heart, of intellect and emotion. Rabbi Kaplan explains that the essence of Torah is its mitzvahs. Mitzvah comes from a root meaning to bind. Every commandment serves to strengthen the bond of love with Hashem. But with tefillin, there is a physical bond as well as a spiritual. We literally bind God's symbol of love to our bodies. The Gemara in Kedushin teaches that the mitzvah of tefillin encompasses all other mitzvot, because here we can see and feel the bond. Hashem's bond with us is also indicated by several verses in Tanakh, speaking of God wearing tefillin, which represents the Jewish people. They are worn on his head and arm, representing Israel's unique relationship to his purpose and action. Therefore, our expression of love for God by wearing tefillin is mutual. The sages relate that in God's tefillin is written his expression of love for the Jewish people. The Tikkuni Zohar says that when a man wears tefillin, a voice proclaims to all the malachim who watch over prayer, "Give honour to the image of the king, the man who is wearing tefillin." In Bereishis it says of this man, "God created man in his image, for this man is wearing the same tefillin as the master of the world." Rabbi Kaplan says that the greatest good that Hashem can offer us is our ability to approach God and resemble him. When we wear tefillin, we are projecting ourselves in the image of God wearing tefillin. The author of Yesod HaVishoresh HaVoda comments that there's a reason for the many detailed laws of the tefillin. Every detail of our tefillin has a counterpart in the tefillin on high. A good analogy is that of a radio. A radio is designed to receive a particular type of signal, and every element and component is needed to ensure that the radio works. If you cut a single wire or remove a single capacitor, then you will no longer receive the signal. Tefillin are our receiver for a spiritual signal, and therefore need to be designed in a certain way to receive this signal. If you violate one single rule, the signal is lost and the bond no longer exists. The analogy can be carried further. Whereas an extensive scientific knowledge, education is needed to understand how a radio works, even a young child can turn on a radio. So the same is true of mitzvahs. A lifetime of study may be needed to understand their significance, that anyone can put on tefillin and receive the signal. Kabbalists explain that women have a more natural way of binding with Hashem, and the various parts of the tefillin correspond to the unique female qualities. The tefillin's hollow chamber corresponds to the womb, and the straps to the umbilical cord. The tefillin box is called the bayis, home, and Rabbi Kaplan explains that the home a woman develops is her private tefillin. In regards to the straps of the arm tefillin, which we mentioned yesterday, there's no mention in the Talmud of how many times to wrap them, but the widespread minhag is 7 times on the forearm, and there's many reasons for that. A few of them are, the Arizal explains that this corresponds to a verse in Megillah Esther that relates to how Esther was given 7 maidens fitting to give her from the king's house. Many correlate the 7 maidens to 7 specific malachim that the Zohar connects to this verse. Others explain it refers to the 7 chambers of the spiritual worlds, as well as the 7 primary emotions. Tefillin are a symbol of the loving relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael, which is comparable to a wedding between husband and wife, where we have sheva brochas and the kalas encircling the chatan 7 times. This is also why we wrap the tefillin straps around our fingers, representing the ring a husband gives his wife under the chuppah. And some have the minhag to say the verse from Hoshea, beginning via which speaks of this betrothal with our marriage partner. When we put on tefillin, we are connecting our minds and heart to Hashem. Some say that the 7 coils relate to the 7-word verse recited before laning, "V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom." You cling to Hashem, your God, you are alive today. And the Gemara in Sukkah mentions that the Yetzirah is referred to by 7 names, and we wrap the strap 7 times on our left inferior hand to subdue the force of impurity and our evil inclination, which resides on the left side of the body. When removing the head tefillin, some wrap the straps on both sides of the box to resemble the wings of a dove. This is in recollection of the Talmudic story of Elisha at a time when the Romans decreed against wearing tefillin, and Elisha was caught walking down the street wearing them. He immediately removed them, and a miracle occurred, and his tefillin turned into dove feathers. And lastly, a scientific study in October 2018 by Dr. Jack Rubinstein found that wearing tefillin is good for your heart, and that the act of wrapping straps of tefillin around the arm on a regular basis could help prevent heart attacks. An Israeli study published in the American Scientific Journal indicated that religious men, but not women, suffered fewer heart attacks than the general population and had better blood flow and fewer circulating cytokines, which are molecules that negatively impact the heart. And the Chinese Journal of Medicine claims that the contact points of tefillin are exactly those points at which acupuncture needles are inserted in order to increase spirituality and purify thoughts. Therefore, the benefits of wearing tefillin would appear to be very great for improving spiritual focus, Avas Hashem, as well as our physical health.
Very nice. Very, very, very interesting. That was, wow.